Here's Skip Heitzig with some good news and some bad news.
Now, you know, the Bible does speak of a time in the future when all warfare will ultimately cease and all implements of war will be converted into tools for peace. Over the United Nations entrance, still to this day, is the scripture out of Isaiah chapter 2. It's written right above the lintels. And they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, neither will they train for war anymore. But it doesn't look like that time is coming anytime soon.
Make the connection.
I'm sure you've seen the bumper stickers that say, "Visualize world peace." It's a nice sentiment, but it's also a naive one. Regardless of how intensely we picture everyone in the world getting along, the simple fact of the matter is, it isn't going to happen. At least not until Jesus returns and does a little house cleaning. And we'll take a closer look at the problem of world peace today on The Connection. But before we get to Skip Heitzig's teaching today, if you've never taken the time to get in touch with us before, we'd like to encourage you to do that today. In fact, all of our first-time contacts will receive a free booklet from Skip called When Kingdoms Collide. Just call 1-800-922-1888 and mention if it's your first time to call us or write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. So what will it take for everyone in the world to just simply get along? Divine intervention, that's what, and we'll find out more about that in today's study.
And make the connection.
As you open your Bibles once again to Matthew 24, Skip Heitzig illustrates for us the difference between the accidental and the intentional.
Well, we had a little traffic accident on Monday. Yeah, we were up on Academy and Lenny was driving. That is no reason why we got into the traffic accident, by the way. We were driving and we were following a truck and he slowed down and we slowed down and this dear woman behind us didn't slow down in time, and it was an accident. She rear-ended us and pushed our car into the truck in front of us. So we got out, and we were talking about this accident, and the guy that was in the very front in the truck said, "You know, there's a traffic accident right up on Wyoming Boulevard, and it looks like all the traffic's been diverted here on Academy, so there's more cars, hence the accident." Well, as we're discussing these two accidents, one of which we're a part of, right next to us, in the lane next to us, bam, we heard. A car plowed into another car, separate incident. And then another bam, and then another bam, a four-car pileup next to our three-car accident. Seven cars. But that's why they call them accidents. They weren't meant to happen. Nobody intentionally set out to hurt the person in the car next to them or in front of them. But on the other side of the world, during this last couple of weeks, you know there have been car bombings, not accidents. Missiles fired, bullets fired, all of them intentional incidents, not involuntary accidents. I heard about a cowboy who wanted to get insurance, and he went to the insurance agent, and the insurance agent said, "Have you ever been in any accidents or had an accident happen?" The cowboy thought about it and he said, "No, a horse did kick me in the ribs 2 years ago and broke two of them. A rattlesnake bit me about last year this time. And the insurance agent said, well, wouldn't you call those accidents? The cowboy said, no, they did it on purpose. And unfortunately, seriously, on the other side of the world, there's a lot of things being done on purpose that are very disturbing. So disturbing that because we don't know what's going to happen in the future, it causes psychological fallout. All the experts will say that when there's times like this of uncertainty, it sets up in our minds a despairing for a lot of people. UCLA Emmanuel Maidenberger, a doctor on staff, said, unpredictability scares us. So does feeling that we have no control over the events that affect our lives. Well, no wonder these disciples were becoming unnerved when Jesus said, the temple that we just walked out of is going to come crashing down and not one stone will be left. Suddenly, they have a flurry of questions. When will these things be? What will the sign of your coming be and of the end of the age? So Matthew chapter 24 is one of the clearest messages in all of the scripture from the lips of Jesus as to what's going to happen in the future. And here's the overarching truth that lets us go, oh, okay. God's in control. There isn't out of control history. As a child of God, you know that by divine decree, these things are going to happen. But God's in control. Well, today we want to look at verse 6, 7, and 8, where we read, as Jesus continues answering his disciples, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Jesus predicts the coming of wars. Wars will come. Now, you know, the Bible does speak of a time in the future when all warfare will ultimately cease. And all implements of war will be converted into tools for peace. Over the United Nations entrance, still to this day, is the scripture out of Isaiah chapter 2. It's written right above the lintels. And they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, neither will they train for war anymore. But it doesn't look like that time is coming anytime soon. After all, look at verse 6. Jesus said, these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Well, we've always known war, haven't we, as people on this earth? Whether it was fighting with fists or stones or sticks or swords or bullets or bombs, mankind has never been able to get along. And you saw some of the statistics. Since 3600 BC, 14,500 battles, large and small, have been fought that have taken the lives of 3.64 billion human beings. And if that's not bad enough, the total destruction to property would be the equivalent of a solid gold belt that stretched around the entire planet Earth, 97.2 miles wide, 33 feet thick. Destructive. It's been our nature. It's been the character of man. Jesus predicts war is coming. But from 2,000 years ago when he said that until now, wars have increased. It's not astonishing. Wars have increased because population has increased. Think about it. When Jesus gave these words, there were only 250 million people on earth. The birth rate yearly in our world is 125 million per year. So in 2 years in modern history, we can produce the entire world population at the time of Christ. We are exponentially growing in population, and the more people, the more problems, the more warfare. Think about it this way. It took from the beginning of history to the year 1860 to produce 1 billion people on planet Earth. But by 1930, we had 2 billion. And then a shorter period of time, 1960, we had 3 billion. 1975, we had 4 billion. 1987, 5 billion. 1999, 6 billion people. And I checked the meter yesterday. Yes, there is online a meter that tells you the current world population. And we're at 6.5, almost 6.6 billion people. Some think that by the end of the year, we'll reach 7 billion people. More people, more problems. More population, the more likelihood of battles to occur. But Jesus says these things must happen. He predicts war. What is he predicting? Well, as we've already said, principally, he is telescoping forward into the future, into that tribulation period when peace will be taken from the earth just prior to the second coming of Christ. The prophet Daniel, and we'll get to it in the next few weeks, predicts that Israel as a nation and the coming world ruler we call the Antichrist will make a peace treaty, and that in the middle of that covenant, it will be broken. Jesus mentions it in verse 15 of this chapter. When you see the abomination of desolation as spoken by Daniel the prophet, that peace treaty will be broken, and when that happens, war will be such on the increase in the tribulation, it will reach fever pitch. And it will culminate in the mother of all battles called the Battle of Armageddon. Revelation 16 describes that in brief. The kings of the earth and the whole world gather together for battle. But that battle will make every other battle in the past pale in comparison. Because it will not just be nation against nation and kingdom and people fighting each other. They will actually form an international coalition to fight God. Doesn't that sound bizarre? It sounds insane, doesn't it? The people are going to get together. We're going to fight God. But listen to this, Revelation 19. The kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse, that's Christ at his second coming, and against his army. Just in case you're wondering what God thinks about this, if he's worried in any capacity, that the whole world might form an international military coalition to stop the second coming, all you got to do on your own is read Psalm 2, where it says, "Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth gather themselves together against the Lord and against his Christ, and he who sits in the heavens shall laugh." So here's the world gathering together, their best armaments come out, and God goes, ha, 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 like it's going to work. He's not worried. What makes this prediction in these verses this morning so riveting to us is we now, today, have the capacity to destroy the entire earth in a single hour. With all of our nuclear armaments by all of the nations, in a single hour, earth could be totally destroyed of its population. And that makes it interesting because there is a prediction in Revelation 18 where that final world power known as Babylon will be destroyed, the Bible says, in a single hour. July 16th, 1945, 50 miles outside of Alamogordo, New Mexico. The first atomic blast was detonated. 3 weeks later, today is the anniversary, Hiroshima was bombed at the order of the President of the United States. The entire world changed from that moment onward. We live in the nuclear age, the atomic age. And since that very day, people have wondered, will we blow ourselves up? Well, according to the Center for Defense Information, the estimates are that the United States alone has an arsenal of 35,000 nuclear weapons. And we have the capability of producing those nuclear weapons at a rate of 3 per day. 3 per day. A single nuclear warhead in our arsenal is equivalent in its destructive power to 460 million tons of TNT, or 35,000 times more the destruction than that one bomb that was dropped in Hiroshima. Well, we have 35,000. England has a nuclear arsenal. France, Russia, China, India, Korea wants one. Iran is trying really hard to get one. Israel probably already has them. And you know why I say probably? And they probably had nuclear weapons for about 25 years. Israel has never formally admitted that they have them for obvious reasons. They want the bargaining power and the stability in that region. So everybody thinks they have them, but they have not formally admitted to it. But think, all of these nations, including our own, that's enormous capability to utterly destroy all of life. Well, no wonder. Jesus looked forward to that time on the earth and said in Luke 21, there will be distress of nations with perplexity. Men's hearts will be failing them from fear and the expectation of those things that are coming on the earth. Unpredictability. It will seem like the world is out of control. So Jesus predicts the coming of war. Go back to verse 7 in Matthew 24. Not only is the coming of war predicted, but there are consequences of war. And notice what they are. And there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. Now, you know, it could be that these are just other signs that fall into place with the sign of warfare. It could be that these are completely unrelated things that are just bad things that Jesus predicts. But I believe that these three are the results of war. First of all, famine. We know that famine is always the result of war. When you blow up population centers, you blow up food supplies, you hinder transportation of food going to the market. And if it is a nuclear war, think of the worldwide contamination. Do you remember Chernobyl when that thing exploded over in the Ukraine? Milk cows as far away as Western Europe were contaminated. Food gets quickly contaminated by that. And during the tribulation period, things will become so bad, inflation rates will get so bad, food will become so scarce that the Bible says a quart of wheat will sell for a denarius. A denarius is a day's wage. A quart of wheat is the minimum amount to survive. In other words, a working man will work all day long and won't be able to provide for his own family. There will be a 1,200% inflation rate from first century norms when that prediction was made till now. Now, if you were to add to that the fact that the rapture of the church will have already taken place, Christians will be off the earth during that terrible time of judgment. That means there'll be no Samaritan's purse handing out food for people who need it. There'll be no world vision given by Christians who want to help other people. There'll be no more Feed the Children. These organizations filled with Christians will be gone. Famine is a consequence of the war. Second, Jesus speaks about pestilence or disease. And we know that disease always, unfortunately, accompanies both war and famine. With malnutrition comes the breakdown of the immune system. Typical antibiotics no longer work. And that means people die. In Revelation chapter 6, and you've heard me refer to that chapter in conjunction with Matthew 24, there are two riders that come forth on the scene. Their names are Death and Hades. And listen to this. They are given authority over 1/4 of the earth to kill with, listen, the sword and famine and disease. Do you hear those three? The sword, that's war, famine, and disease, pestilence. Same thing here. War, followed by famine, followed by disease. And did you get the number? We read it so quickly. 1/4 of the earth killed, wiped out. By today's standards, that's 1.75 billion people lost. There's a third. He predicts famine, pestilences, and earthquakes. You say, now, wait a minute. How could earthquakes ever be a consequence of war? That's an independent seismic activity. Not necessarily. I've done a little bit of research on this. It's been going on, by the way, for a number of years. Scientists talk about embedding nuclear implements in the earth, blowing them up to adjust tectonic plates. In other words, a controlled earthquake. They could move the plates, move the earth, in order to avoid the earth shifting tectonically on its own, i.e. the big one. Let's prevent that from happening. And scientists, some of them will tell us, you get a big enough blast and you could create a chain of earthquakes like you've never seen before.
We've seen the tallies on what the various ongoing conflicts around the world cost in human lives. But there will come a time when the loss of life will be so huge that the numbers will almost be meaningless. Are you prepared for that day? If you aren't sure, open your Bible and find out how you can be through Jesus Christ. Or give us a call and we'll talk to you about it. Just call 1-800-922-1888 or click on the No God link at connectionradio.org. In fact, when you become a supporter of this ministry through the Global Connectors, you'll help us prepare people all over the world for the return of Christ through the solid Bible teaching of this ministry. And here's how you can join today.
During the 15th century, the Ming Dynasty built a great wall on China's north border in order to keep nomadic tribes from invading. Some historians believe this immense wall took invading Mongols by surprise.
Oh, where did that come from?
Today, Mongolia itself is being invaded, not by nomadic tribes or conquering armies, but by the gospel of Jesus Christ. This invasion is possible in a large part due to your support of the Global Connectors. Your $25 a month are helping us broadcast sound biblical teaching. Listen to Tom Terry from Eagle TV.
God has just done some remarkable things through the telling of the Bible story and the other projects that we do on Eagle TV, and especially with Skip Heitzig's program, Connection. I mean, we've played a number of those types of programs before and translated them, but none of them have seemed to hit the nerve and get the kind of attention or audience that Skip's program has, which has just done phenomenal. Skip's program is our number two rated program for Eagle Television, with tens of thousands of people watching at any given moment.
Call today and help these efforts continue and expand. It's just $25 a month, but that's a small sum weighed against changing a life for eternity. Call 1-800-922-1888 to sign up for Global Connectors today, or visit connectionradio.org. For now, the walls are down in Mongolia. Help us seize the moment.
And another way you can have an impact is by going through the School of Ministry. Here's Skip to tell us more about that.
This is Skip Heitzig, and I want to let you know that the Calvary of Albuquerque School of Ministry is back in action for the 2010 school year. If you'd like preparation for ministry, or if you want to take time to get direction for Christian service, our SOM could be just for you. Applications are open to men and women at any age or stage of life. Here's where to get more information about the Calvary of Albuquerque's School of Ministry.
And if that sounds like something you'd like to be a part of, you can get signed up today at 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. And that's just about all the time we have for today. But if you'd like a copy of today's teaching, give us a call at 1-800-922-1888 or visit our website at connectionradio.org. Or as I mentioned, you can also write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. And remember, everyone who contacts us for the first time today gets a free booklet from Skip Heitzig. So write us or give us a call at 1-800-922-1888.
And make the connection.
No matter how we may visualize it, wish for it, or fight for it, the fact is this: we will never truly know world peace without the Prince of Peace. Find out why on our next broadcast, here on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.